All right, we are taking you up until the nightly sports call. Nightly sports call on KDK Plus and 93.7 The Fan starts at 10:35. So we're taking you up until then. And we've been talking about the same thing all night long. That is TJ Watt's contract extension, making him the highest paid non-quarterback in NFL history. Apologize for the pause. Trying to find what the cap hit will be. And according to a couple of different areas, it looks like the cap hit for TJ Watt, by the way the bonuses shake out, will be $41 million in 2026. That goes up from about $20 million. But at the end of the day, like I said, the Steelers have about $87 million in cap space right now for the 2026 season. You take away $41 million of that, quick math, the Steelers will still have $46 million in cap space in 2026. And that'll allow them to do things. So for all the people out there, and we just had somebody text into the text line, Steelers would have been better off if they would have let TJ Watt play this year out and then go out and get a comparable receiver. Well, there weren't big-time number two receivers out there, with the exception of Davante Adams. There really weren't. I mean, like what? Stephon Diggs? Oh, that situation's going really well in New England. Get that guy off of boats. I wouldn't call Cooper Kupp the receiver that he was. And other than that, like the next highest paid guys this offseason were Darius Slay getting $12 million to go back to the Giants and De'Ami Brown going to the Jaguars for $10 million a year. That doesn't jump off the page to me as a better alternative than letting TJ Watt play on an expiring deal. So the fact that they did this now, and the fact that this extension will time out in a period in which they don't have to pay a quarterback, is why I'm okay with it. I'm more than okay with it. I'm actually happy that they did it. 412-928-9370. Dave in Greensburg's on the Fan. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, I'm just going to comment. I think keeping TJ Watt for a three-year deal is not a bad thing. The five-year deal that he was looking for would have been terrible.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to last 5 years. 3 years is the medium. I think you're going to get 2 good years out of him. 3 years, you're going to kind of be pushing it. But I'm looking more towards what the Steelers are going to be able to do in offense. And if Tomlin will allow Arthur Smith to be able to use a two tight end system and be able to open up the offense a bit more and be a little bit more creative with it, like New England used to be able to do with a two tight ends with how they did it in the Super Bowl years. The Steelers could be very good if they actually came out and did it, especially with a quarterback like Rodgers leading the team. They can actually do something if they allow it to happen. The whole thing is on Tomlin's shoulders. As I always tell in the morning show with Nick Ericalis, I think Tomlin should have been fired 3 years ago because I don't think he has the creativity to be able to do it. And the way how he held on to Matt Canada was a complete disaster for him. We'll see this year how it goes, but if it's a complete flop, Tomlin needs to go. And
you know what, Dave? I'm glad you brought that up, man, and thanks for the call. That'll be the final straw for the Mike Tomlin tenure in Pittsburgh. I mean, he's not going anywhere right now. We know that. Those of us that watch the Steelers and follow them even a little bit know that is the case. I think the final straw with the Mike Tomlin era in Pittsburgh will be him going 0-2 on developing quarterbacks. He's obviously already 0-1. The one that they drafted in 2022 has played on now two different teams since the Steelers. Or it will be two when Kenny Pickett suits up for Cleveland, if he suits up for Cleveland. Tomlin cannot go 0-2. And if he goes 0-2, it might even be to the point where Tomlin says, you know what, I think I might want to pursue other coaching opportunities. I might want to go somewhere else and have an Andy Reid era if he fails to develop another quarterback in Pittsburgh. That's why the 2026 offseason and the 2026 draft has so much pressure around it for Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan. So we were talking about a couple of buy or sell topics for this season, according to our producer, ace producer, Joel Nelson. One of them was if we could buy into Peyton Wilson having a breakout year in 2025. I'm buying into it, and that inspired our guy Les in North Huntington to call in. So, Les, what do you have to say about Peyton Wilson? Thanks for giving us a ring, too.
So, 100%, I love Peyton Wilson. He was a animal at North Carolina, and for the Pittsburgh Steelers, he'll be an animal for the next 5 years. Sorry, I had a few drinks tonight, but I'm just saying, I'm speaking my piece. I saw him play for the Steelers last year, and he was awesome.
Hey, Les, man, you could have fooled me, and you were
machine.
You could have fooled me, man, and you managed to stay FCC compliant through the boozy call, man. So I appreciate it.
I have kids.
Hey, man, enjoy the rest of your night. Stay safe, and thanks for the call. 412-928-9370. It's also the number of the fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. TJ Watt's extension is a very good thing. It's a good thing because of how long it is. It's a good thing because they're not paying a quarterback. And it's a good thing because TJ Watt makes them a better team. I mean, Joe, am I speaking in tongues when I suggest that TJ Watt, healthy and suiting up, makes this team better than if he wasn't, even at this stage in his career?
Yeah, I mean, he's still the best player on the defense, right?
Either him or Cam Hayward. And in 2024, Cam Hayward was a better player, which is why so many people are jumping down my neck and other people's necks about this extension.
If TJ Watt and Cam Hayward, let's say they're like, I don't know, 1A and 1B to their value to the defense, I mean, who's number three? You know, TJ Watt, that he's insanely valuable to the defense, and you just can't trade you can't trade TJ Watt when you've got this sort of mojo or whatever we're going to call it that they're going all in this year. Maybe not all in, but, you know, trying to assemble a very good team, and you take a pretty significant step back in trading TJ Watt, even though there would be, you know, you still get some first round picks or whatever for him. And this is this is the last really good time that the team has to trade him. They won't, but you would take a pretty significant step back in your approach to 2025 if you were to have moved on from Watt this offseason.
Yeah, and I said the only thing that I would have entertained for TJ Watt, and we just had a texter that say, reminder, the Steelers are 1-9 without TJ Watt. I'm actually going to have to correct you, good sir. It's actually 1-10, but I think that further proves your point. The only way that I would have been okay with a TJ Watt trade is if they were able to get both Terry McLaurin and a first-round pick from the Commanders. But at the end of the day, like, that totally walks back on my point of if they're going to commit to being all in on 2025 includes TJ Watt. Now, I think on paper, Alex Highsmith and Nick Herbig would be a good pass rushing duo if that's what it was. And a couple of texters were chiming in about, man, if they go out and get a comparable wide receiver too, well, Terry McLaurin would be that. And then you add an additional first round pick, and then you can draft two guys in the first round next year, or take those two first round picks and move up and draft an elite, on paper, elite quarterback prospect. That one I would have been okay. But at the very best, I would have probably only been 45% okay with it. And 55% would be, you know, that doesn't fit the win now mold that the Steelers said that they've committed to. And if I'm the GM of the Washington Commanders, no, I don't do either one of those things. I think McLaurin will probably get a deal done in Washington. And the other flip side of that, I mean, look at the last time before DK Metcalf, but look at the last time the Steelers tried to trade for a pretty damn good wide receiver on an expiring contract and having contract disputes with the current team. They didn't get him. And Andrew Filippone faced boatloads of social media scrutiny. I'm talking about Brandon Ayuk. So all in all, the TJ Watt trade, I think the reward outweighs the risk, especially because the money favors the Steelers. Alex and McKee Sports on the Fan. What's up, Alex? Good evening.
Good evening, sir. Yeah, literally I was about to say some of that. So all year I've been beating the drum with anybody who will listen. I know the Steelers aren't going to completely tank, and TJ Watt's an excellent player. I mean, he's an all-pro. But you trade him. We already traded Pickens because that sideshow wasn't going to work out. I don't know how people think we are anywhere near Super Bowl ready. And if we traded Watt, we get a first-round pick, we tank the season, that almost guarantees we're going to be in the top 10 for next year's draft. Now that we are, you know, decently competitive, we're going to be 9-8, 10-7, whatever. How are we possibly going to get a top-flight quarterback in next year's draft? Like, that we're going to be drafting in the middle like we always do. I just don't understand that. So I love TJ Watt, but I would have been much in favor of trying to trade him, get rid of Pickens, tank the season. I don't care about Aaron Rodgers, and get a good first round draft pick quarterback next year.
Yeah, Alex, I just think that was a conversation for March, right after the season, when teams start to commit to their identity for the 2025 season. The Steelers didn't commit to a rebuild at that point. They pursued Aaron Rodgers for as long as they did. They've made the moves that they did, and now they've extended TJ Watt. They're not rebuilding, and we knew that they weren't going to. And while you could prefer that, and that's fine, but like I said earlier in the show, I want the team, especially the team I root for, to stick to the plan. If you say, we're going to win now, all right, go for it. Don't deviate from the plan. And trading TJ Watt would have deviated from the plan. And if they were going to do that, they should have done that in March and figured it out from
there. That's absolutely fair enough. But how do we get our quarterback next year? Like, how does that happen?
So there's two sides to that. Number one, I mean, everybody cites the draft capital, right? They've got like 12 or 13 picks next year. You can package a bunch of those and move up and get your quarterback. But to play devil's advocate to that and to kind of answer your hypothetical, teams have to be willing to do that, right? Like, and I heard Andrew and Chris talking about this maybe a week or so ago. Like, what if New Orleans, or what if the Jets that are picking 7th or 8th, what if they want to take a quarterback and they don't want to move back? So while it's nice to have a lot of draft capital, and from the Steelers side of things, they can put a nice little package together and move up into the top 10, it takes two to tango, and you don't know how the draft order is going to shake out. So that's where, you know, I think your kind of concern comes into play there.
Yeah. Thank you, man. Have a good night.
You got it, brother. Take care. 412-928-9370. I still think the Steelers will be able to move up in the 2026 draft and draft a quarterback. Like, let's go back and look at some of the recent draft. And this is a legitimate concern because you don't know how the NFL draft order is going to shake out. You don't know who is going to be targeting what guys. But I'm of the opinion, and I've said this on these airwaves before, I am of the opinion that you need to be in the top 10 to really have a good chance of drafting a franchise quarterback. Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts are very much the exception. Brock Purdy, the exception and not the rule. Let's look at the top 10 of recent draft classes, right? You've got Jacksonville, who picked 2. They obviously don't need a quarterback. They have Trevor Lawrence. New England picked 4th. They just picked Drake May, and they're super high on him. The Jets picked 7th. The Panthers picked 8th. Fields and Bryce Young, they weren't going to draft a quarterback there. The 2024 draft. The Arizona Cardinals picked 4th. Even if Williams, Daniels, May didn't go 1, 2, 3, they weren't going to take a quarterback in that spot. I think they were still under the belief that Kyler Murray is their guy. The Chargers picked fifth. They have Justin Herbert. The Vikings picked 10th. They, at that point, still had Kirk Cousins and drafted J.J. McCarthy. In 2023, just to kind of further prove my point, you had the Cardinals in the top 10 again, not pick a quarterback. You had the Raiders picking 7th. At that point, they were okay with Derek Carr. And Seattle had Geno Smith still. Why do I say all that? I think the law of averages kind of proves that there are at least two, maybe three teams in every draft picking in the top 10 that don't need a quarterback. You just got to hope that, and this is where the concern comes in, that it's not like the 2024 draft class where you've got three quarterback needy teams or even four quarterback needy teams picking 1 through 4 and a combination of Drew Aller, Garrett Nussmeier, Arch Manning, and Lenore Sellers go 1 through 4. And then you're in trouble. But I consider that unlikely. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Phone line still open for about another hour and change. 412-928-9370. We're talking about the Steelers and we're talking about TJ Watt's extension. That's the news of the day. 3 years, $123 million, $108 of it fully guaranteed. How does that sit with you? 412-928-9370. We're with you until 10:35. I'm Jack Hillgrove. This is the Fan Evening Show on Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. Sports Radio, 93.7 The Fan. This is the Fan Evening Show. Welcome back. If you've been with us for the duration, appreciate you. Joel Nelson, behind the glass. Jack Hillgrove, behind the mic until like another hour, give or take, taking you up until the nightly sports call at 10:35. That's probably who, Malzy, because Pony's on vacation. And somebody from over there. Oh, no, it's probably Richie Walsh because Pomp and Pony are both on vacation. Pomp's in Scotland playing golf. I don't know that I would love, as a big, this might sound crazy, I don't know that I would love going overseas to play golf. And I understand, because I'm a big golf guy, and I understand that, like, the game was born there. But, like, if I got to pick between, like, Royal Troon, Portrush, where the British Open is this weekend, and St. Andrews. If that was a trip, and I got to pick between those three courses, or like Pinehurst, Augusta, TPC Sawgrass, I'm taking the latter all the live long day. I know you're not a massive golf guy, but I just think that there are so many other golf courses in America that take the cake for me as far as bucket list golf courses that I would rather play than go all the way over there and play Lynx golf.
I feel like you got to be an absolute like golf junkie where golf is your top sport by a very wide margin compared to like all the other sports. Like you're sort of balanced.
And make a lot of money and Pomp fits both of those bills.
Pretty much, where like you are living and breathing golf and somewhat 90% only golf, where it makes sense to do a trip that far overseas for that. Otherwise, I mean, if you're not like an insane golf junkie, like a psycho golf junkie, I don't know if the trip is worth it.
Both of those sports guys over at Channel 2, they were like pigs in slop at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Richie and Pomp both love their golf. But yeah, so yeah, Richie and Malzy likely tonight on the nightly sports call, 10:35 on KDK Plus and right here on 93.7 The Fan. 412-928-9370, taking your calls on the TJ Watt extension and how you feel about it. We'll be taking your phone calls until about for another hour, 10:30, right here on The Fan. I'm cool with it. I'm more than cool with it. I'm actually really happy with it. I'm happy they got it done. I'm happy they got it done now and that we aren't going to have to be paying attention to it nonstop during training camp. You could put aside all the BS. You could put aside all the drama, if there was even any drama surrounding the deal or the lack of there being a deal. And everybody can just kind of shut up and focus on football. That was the Steelers' ambition. And it was also the Steelers' ambition to sign him for a three-year deal, three-year extension, and not 4 or 5. And they have their way there. So I'm glad, for the Steelers' sake, that they were able to win that battle. And the other thing, too, and you talk about drama. I had mentioned this earlier in the show. TJ Watt was able to get paid without causing a stink like Myles Garrett or Micah Parsons has. Go back to pre-Myles Garrett extension. Oh, I'm going to request a trade. And then everybody was talking about where Myles Garrett was going to end up. Buffalo, Detroit, Washington. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, Myles Garrett gets the ridiculous deal that he got. I think requesting a trade was very much the tactic there. And Garrett gets what he wants and has his way with the Steelers organization. Micah Parsons is out running his mouth on a media tour and complaining about not getting an extension yet from the Dallas Cowboys. Will that work? Probably. And he'll probably have his way and he'll probably win in those negotiations. TJ Watt was able to become the highest paid non-quarterback in the history of the league without doing either one of those things. This is a win-win. And as big of a win-win as a win-win could be, how much wood could a woodchuck chuck, right? This is as big of a win as a win could be given the circumstances. The Steelers should have made this deal a year ago, and they didn't. That sucks that they didn't do it. But guess what? They were able to get it done now for a lot more than I think that they would have thought, right? $41 million a year is a lot of cheddar. And if they would have got this deal done a year ago, they probably would have saved themselves $6, $7 million bucks a year. But TJ Watt didn't cause a stink, didn't raise a fuss, went about his business, and the two sides got a deal done that made them both happy. It's not for 4 or 5 years. Yay for the Steelers. It's for more than Myles Garrett, and he's the highest paid non-quarterback ever. Yay for TJ Watt. As big of a win as a win could be. 412-928-9370. Jeff's in Ohio. Now he's on the Fan. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how's it going today?
I'm good, man. How about yourself?
It's going great. I actually agreed with you. I didn't catch the whole show, but I've been catching bits and pieces. And I think you're spot on. If you look at the cap scenario for next year, we're fine. We're in great shape. You're going to draft a rookie quarterback. You're going to have a quarterback on a rookie contract for the next 4 years. So by the time Watt's contract is up, you're still having the rookie quarterback contract-wise. So
yeah, and that is the polar, Jeff, that's the polar opposite of what the Bengals are dealing with right now. And granted, Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but between him and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, that's why the situation with Trey Hendrickson is what it is.
Yeah, I actually agree with you. And I think that you have to look more at the percentage of the cap that it's eating up. And I kind of give you a quick scenario. Like when Ben got his big contract, when we had Bell, A.B., if Ben took the big contract, I think it hurt us. I mean, it was one where we had so much strapped up in the quarterback, but you have to do it because it's a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I get it, but it just eats up so much of your contract, and that's what you're talking about with the Bengals. I mean, and you look at, like, the Browns. The Browns have four players that eat up, like, 80% of their cap in the next couple of years. It's absurd. And we could thank the Cleveland Browns for setting the market, the idiots overpaying Myles Garrett that put us in this situation.
Yeah, and if anybody's going to benefit from, I mean, like, so the Lions are going to have to meet it with Hutchinson. The Bengals are trying to do it with Hendrickson and the
Micah Parsons.
Yep, thank Micah you. Parsons. If anybody's in the best shape of the four teams, Cowboys, Lions, Bengals, Steelers, it's the Steelers because they're not paying a quarterback and they're able to spare it. That's why Dallas is struggling. I think Dak Prescott's cap hits like 60-something million dollars, something ridiculous.
CeeDee Lamb's got the massive hit as well.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to contemplate what they're going to do with George Pickens too because he's their problem now. Yeah. Detroit's paying Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown, and the Bengals are tied up with what they're tied up in. So if anybody can do it, it's the Steelers. Jeff, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. He was talking about Ben there for a moment. I'm not necessarily sure that that ever hurt the Steelers. Like, let's look here. Ben's first extension was in 08. Ben got 6 years, $87 million, 25 guaranteed at sign, 33 total guaranteed. I mean, you read those numbers and you're like, man, has the market for quarterbacks spiked. Holy hell. But in that time frame, at the end of that, they were still able to have Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. And then Ben signed the four-year, $87 million deal, and the average salary, the AAV, was $21.8 million. From 15 to 19, they still had all of the killer bees and a really good defense. So I'm not sure that the Steelers were hurt by Ben with either of those contracts. In year two of the first extension, the Steelers made the Super Bowl. In the first year of the third extension, they made the AFC Championship, and they had really good teams that just underperformed. So I'm not sure that you blame Ben's deals in that regard. You blame who everybody loves to blame. Mike T. 412-928-9370. About a couple of other, some Steelers stories, man. Actually, both around the former Steelers that become Chargers. Mike Williams retires, Jolie. That news broke today. And Najee Harris's story, man. And I was incredibly, incredibly against extending Najee. I was for the fifth-year option, but I was against bringing that guy back. I thought his Steelers days were numbered. But man, regardless of football, really good dude. A guy that I think was uber respected in the locker room. In his situation, I guess having some sort of eye injury during the 4th of July. The initial report was that he lost an eye. That doesn't seem the case, but it looks like he's going to start training camp on the PUP list. That just stinks for him, man. I feel horrible for a guy like that, for anybody going through something like that, but especially somebody that I think was beloved in this town for a long time.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Just as he gets to Los Angeles and getting in that Chargers offense with Jim Harbaugh and everybody out there, that stinks. But
well, I first felt bad for him because they drafted Omarion Hampton in the first round after signing him, and I was like, all right, what the hell? And then a very non-football sad thing happened, and he had an accident. So thoughts and prayers with Najee, man, because that you hate to see that happen to anybody. And then Mike Williams retiring today as well. We thought he might have been the answer to the Steelers' prayers with Russell Wilson. Caught a touchdown against the Commanders, and then everybody stunk at the end of the season. The schedule had a lot to do with that. 412-928-9370. A couple of texts. Enjoyed the segment with the questions with Joel. Joel, you did great tonight too. Thank you. Joel, we're going to have to continue the buy or sell, punt or go for it. Might have to make that a thing during football season when you and I have the opportunity to work together.
That was pretty good.
I give you a lot of credit. I give me credit for thinking of it. I mean, it's not innovative radio by any means, but
team effort.
Yeah. Big time team effort. Show them the money. Little Rod Tidwell, Jerry Maguire quote. One of my favorite movies of all time. Appreciate that. In the text line as well. Jim and Cranberry before we go to break. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how are you?
Good, man.
Hey, real quick. You remember the Redskins team when they, had all the free agents, Bruce Smith and Deion Sanders, and they had other guys, and it just kind of blew up in their face.
That was before my prime football watching days, Jim, but I'm aware of the situation, yeah.
I think this team kind of reminds me of that. I think this could go either way, and with Mike Tomlin, you know, if this blows up with Aaron Rodgers, what else would he stay here for? I know you said earlier that, you know, he has another chance to groom another quarterback. He's never groomed a quarterback. he had Big Ben in his prime, and we blew opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And if this doesn't work, with all these big personalities, you bring in these guys like Rodgers and the quarterback Ramsey they brought in. You know, you're getting rid of Fitzpatrick, which I'm fine with. I thought he understood.
Well, you talk about personalities, Jim.
One more thing, and I'm going to let you go. I think it's important they give T.J. Watt some rest this year. I mean, they got Herbig. You know, they got some other guys that can plug in. We can't have him, you know, playing like a dog down the stretch. It's getting ridiculous. Year after year, he does nothing in big games. And I think a big reason is he's dead by the end of the year.
Well,
Thanks,
no problem. And I think a lot of that, too, is because he's going pedal to the metal, speed rush off the edge every single play. And he gets tired out. If you, and we talked about this with Nick Faribault, every time we chat with Nick, it's a great segment. I highly recommend you use that rewind feature on the Odyssey app and go back and listen. Nick cited some great points. Number one, if you don't follow TJ Watt on Instagram, go look at that post with him and Nick Herbig. TJ Watt looks jacked. I mean, you could put together five of my forearms and I don't think that they would equal the size of what TJ Watt's are right now. Looking a lot more like a power rusher than a speed rusher. And the later you get into your career at that position, power rushing tends to bode well for older players. So are we seeing a transition into maybe a more of a power rushing style from TJ Watt? Number two, and Jim brings up a good point, you know, he gets dog tired and that's why he collapses. The collapse happens at the end of the season. If you make him do different things, like we all want them to, line up over the A or B gap, maybe be a decoy in certain situations, he could still be on the field and be a factor and be somebody that those guys have to worry about and not have to do as much play in and play out. So I think not only giving him some rest might aid that, but getting him to do different things will help in that as well. And he looks huge. I mean, Joel, did you see the picture of him?
No, but I probably don't need to see it to believe it.
I mean, he looks like a, what is this, Transformers on FX right now in the studio. His arms look like Optimus Primes. It's just sculpted like a Greek god. He looks huge.
He looks like one of those graphics on the NFL on Fox pregame show.
Yeah, that big robot looking guy. I would run around and do stuff. Every now and again, the Burger King commercials with him, like a pick six and doing stuff that would, like, they put the Burger King. You ever see those?
I think you're going to have to show me one of those sometime.
Just look up old Burger King commercial NFL on like YouTube or something, and they are priceless. And every now and again, I see those on social media and they get sent in the group chat and we all think it's hysterical. All right, 412-928-9370. Phone lines open for about another 45 minutes or so. All topics on the table at this point. Let's get weird before those nightly sports call starts at 10:35. I'm Jack Hillgrove. It's a Fan Evening Show. Fan weather. That's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High 70s, low 80s, give or take tomorrow, but with some rain potentially. How about this for some fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Joel Nelson. Mike Tomlin had the nerve to tell us at minicamp, oh yeah, no, it wasn't hot enough last year. That's why we're going back to 2 o'clock practices this training camp. I am not looking forward to 2 o'clock practices at St. Vincent College. I mean, you want to talk about, I'm sure that if anybody listening goes to training camp as a fan, I'm sure you can relate just as easily as I can because I go to cover it. But those 2 o'clock practices suck from a weather side of things. I mean, just brutally hot. Brutally hot. And we're looking at mid-80s next week, 83, 84, which I guess on paper isn't terrible, but if it's humid, dude, it is going to be, you're going to want to just stay hydrated. That's the name of the game, I guess. What's the hottest you've ever been, Joel?
Oh, gosh. I've probably, you know, I've been to Las Vegas and Phoenix or like Scottsdale area. I don't recall the temperature. I'm sure it was pretty hot for those. I don't know if I've ever been in the hundreds before. So, you know, probably one of those days in Pittsburgh where it was mid 90s and felt like 100. We've had a couple of those over recent weeks and that.
So I was in Phoenix in the summer of 2012 on the hottest day of the year that year in Phoenix, Arizona. It was like 115 degrees.
Goodness gracious, really?
But call me crazy. And I mean, you guys travel a bunch. You ever been out in the desert, Phoenix, Arizona, anywhere out there?
Yeah, I mean, we were there for when Penn State played Washington in the Fiesta Bowl.
Okay. I don't think it's, when it's 115 degrees and there's no humidity, it's not that bad.
That humidity.
You just can't, like, we were at a family friend's house and they have an in-ground pool. You just have to be careful around the pool in bare feet because then obviously you can run into some trouble. But it's not horrible. It's just dry heat where, like, I could probably think of several 90 degree days around here with a crap ton of humidity where it just feels disgusting.
Sure. All right. So would you rather play, let's say, I don't know, basketball, pickleball, tennis, whatever, in 80 degrees with moderate humidity or 115 degrees or we'll say 110 without humidity? Are those about even or?
I don't know.
Is that temperature in the hundreds still like going to make a bigger impact than 80 something with humidity?
I'm no Ray Petland. Does bigger heat, like more heat affect like the quality of air that you breathe? Because then obviously you could run into some trouble there if you're exerting yourself a bunch.
I didn't think about that part. That could make an impact.
It's like hot air. I don't know. Probably the 80 and a little bit more humid.
Yeah, based on just temperature alone, that's probably got to be the go-to in that case.
Somebody just texted in, I coached a soccer practice in Vegas on turf when it was 112. Now, I cover a lot of high school sports for my full-time gig, and I've covered quite a few track meets in May on a turf, and it doesn't get much worse than a hot day on turf because the turf is just like a mirror and it just reflects the sun right back up and it's just so hot.
Like, think about if you're playing, I don't know, lacrosse or something, you're playing catch or whatever, and like you fall and like your elbow slides or your knee slides or something.
No, that's
almost like it's like carpet burn or something.
Yeah, I wince in pain thinking about it. Ugh. Is this new? Australian forward Roman Sialupa has enrolled at Pitt for basketball. Explosive showing at the FIBA U19 World Cup, posting 18.9 points a game. I thought they did get and forgive me, because this is obviously we're still a ways from Pitt basketball and they've got a bunch of turnover, but I think that they already have an Australian commit. I'm just curious as if it's the same. No, Henry Lau is the guy that I'm thinking of from Sydney, Australia, went to Sydney Boys High. Jeff Capel landing another Aussie, according to Jonathan Gavani at Draft Express. Does NBA draft analysis for ESPN as well. Roman Sialupa, and I could totally be pronouncing that wrong, but it's Sialepa. 18.9 points a game at the FIBA U19 World Cup. 6'7", 220-pound small forward. Mike Vukovic at Pittsburgh Sports Now had an article on him at the end of June. And it looks like he's like the number one prospect in Australia.